Vince Di Dato for Radio Rosbrera. We must then get rid of sustainable development, imagining instead comprehensive sustainability. Comprehensive sustainability aims to balance the different components of human activities and environment in order to achieve both a physical improvement in quality and a metaphysical evolution of the whole system on the longest term planning possible, because there is no contingent improvement at the expense of one part of it. For comprehensive sustainability, it is necessary to include four fundamentals. Environment, as the whole, inclusive system in which every phenomenon occurs and every actor is, as an integrated, synergetic part of it. Economy, as the dynamics of physical resources and energy flowing inside the same system. Society, as the subsystem in which all the human physical interrelationship are developed. Culture, as the context for the evolutionary exchanges among humans' differences and where the new chances, potentialities, possibilities and visions are shared, the metaphysical ones included. Into the comprehensive sustainability frame, there is no dichotomy between humans and nature. Humanity, in fact, despite the Western culture that communicates a separation from the Earth, is definitely part of the whole environment, or the planet system, that is itself a part of universal system. There is no possibility to scientifically conceive humanity as separate from the whole, despite the commonly accepted, conscious or unconscious, tendency to privilege the human mind and our behavior as superior in confront of nature and her different parts. Naturally, this supremacy is not sustainable at all, and not only it opposes any attempt to solve our survival problems within a worn-out environment, but also it justifies every other arbitrary separation in economy, rich and poor, in society, privileged and less fortunate or more straight exploited ones, and in culture, more sophisticated and primitive, all in different scales and sometimes according to accurately defined and measured levels, in the sake of a scientific process that has not actually any real scientific basis, except a political, cultural, Malthusian, Darwinian, Cartesian pretended ideology. Jason Moore, correctly, criticized the Anthropocene as the origin of this dichotomy, and he introduces the Capitalocene, affirming that Anthropocene not only does not discuss the dichotomy in itself, but even renews a justification of it. The origin of the Capitalocene is placed by Moore and Debney in the 14th and 15th century European big crisis and catastrophes, together with Columbus' starting of the exploitation of America, the very beginning of the Industrial Revolution that manifests but does not start itself in the 18th century. I would like to seek even deeper roots that take us all into our present big crisis that evidently cannot be only environmental, with the threat of an irreversible climate change, but also social, economic, and cultural. We should examine the origins of the very first feudalistic society and how it has been endorsed by myths. In particular, there is the story of Grandmother Sky Woman of the Iroquois native people, and for the Western world, the myth of Eve. Sky Woman is the keeper of a garden of shared flourishing wealth. Eve is exiled from the garden into an alien world of suffering and pain. Native Americans say everything is born from woman. And in nature and science, nothing is more true than this for every kind of organism, plant or animal. Other Western world myths cancel, step by step, the matriarchal lineage of creation of our original human society. Athena, that originally is Parthenos, self-generating, is lately birthed by the brain of Zeus, and the patriarchal feudalism was born. The origin of feudalism is ancient and spread from Asia, since the Zeus dynasty, to Europe, via Sumerians and Egyptians. It is not only the European feudalism, but includes all the pyramidal organization of societies, as also described by Marx and Wolff. It is more a social project, based on patriarchal structure, aimed to control society, than an historically and geographically limited phenomenon. This social project expressed the power of an elite, usually well military organized, backed by religious and financial entities that since the origins built a society based on labor and land resources exploitation, and significantly on slavery, as much as possible economically found on unpaid work and unvalued environment. Control is at the base of the success for this kind of social pyramidal organization, really effective for a long, long period of some thousand of years, in many versions, in many geographical areas, until very recently. A control expressed in every possible directions, police and military coercion, unavoidable religious rules, financial restrictions for the lower castes, movement restrictions, cultural conformity, and information secrecy. Richard Buckminster Fuller, in 1968, poetically described how such a society was born, and he named the feudalistic rulers the Great Pirates. In particular, cultural conformity and secrecy of the information enhance social specialization that has been, and unfortunately still is, the most powerful way to control people, even in a society that today wouldn't be or wouldn't accept to be called feudalistic, and even now that the great pirates are extinct. Capitalocene, then, has roots in a deep past and in an original culture that senses nature as dead matter, a mere reservoir of resources, and considers human individuals as mere labor force, and in the case of women, as reproductive force, possibly low cost or no cost at all of them. But today, there is no way to escape the substantial changes that are happening on our planet without understanding that we are part of Earth and universe. Is it possible then to apply systemic thinking to find a solution in a comprehensive sustainability context and aiming without degenerating into the Cartesian quantum measurement used till today within the capitalist status quo? Yes, we think, being fully inclusive of the four cited pillars, environment, society, economy and culture, with totally different paradigms that do not put the financial parameters first, do not aim to an increased quantity of welfare, but instead include quality of life in a broader and shared sense for humans and the environment that are part of. The X-sphere matrix is an example of possibility, not being a Cartesian flat Euclidean matrix, but instead a dynamic, spherical time-space tool focused on connection and the flowing of information among the distinct key points along paths and patterns that choreograph potentialities and events in a natural way, leaving vital possibility open and at the same time giving us possibilities and responsible choices. There is no space for peculiar technological solution that can save us from a specific problem, include the climate change. New technologies, alternative technologies, renewable technologies, synergic agriculture, clean mobility, or a mix of them can help, but cannot solve. It is not a step forward if the cultural philosophical concept at the fundamentals of our society is not questioned. Again, a systemic vision, truly comprehensive, is required. A vision that implies that the actual global relationship based on sovereignty and states must be overcome, but not through more division and regionalization or populistic backstabs, rather through increased sharing of information, projects and ideas. The future is truly think global and act local. The local part is often happening. We need more global vision and thinking now. We must overcome the circumstances and consider them as such, from a systemic point of view. It will be so possible to intervene on the essence of the turmoils, leading humanity to new solutions and renew understanding, beyond the differences, beyond the contingencies, and beyond ignorance, isolation, and limitation imposed by ideologies and ideologues. We have to begin now. And it is appropriate to remind again Bucky's words. That said, it is also probable that during that one third of a century of the curtain raising of the 21st century, that the number of boo-boos, biased blunders, short-sighted misjudgments, opinionated self-deceit of humanity will total at minimum 600 trillion errors. Clearly, humans will have backed into their future while evolution operating as inexorably as fertilized ovaries gestate in the womb will have brought about his success in ways synergetically unforeseeable to us today. And today, more than ever, we face a challenge for comprehensive thinking, a precious and necessary tool to attain bright days at the end of the contingent turbulences. Vince Di Dato for Radio Rosbrera.